In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So those are some of the words from the first reading today, from chapter 40 of the book of Isaiah, prophet Isaiah. Chapter 40 begins what we call Deutero-Isaiah. So we know that those words were addressed to a population who were in exile. Those words were addressed to a Hebrew community that was spread out all over Babylon and all over Egypt, and without a leader, without a place to call their own, families having been broken up and spread all over the place. They were without a center of their religion. And the prophet comes to them and speaks these words. Have you not heard? Don't you remember what we were taught? Have you forgotten that when you wait on the Lord will be present to you? That we have a God who desires to continue His presence in your lives? And it was hard for them to hear that. Probably it's not what they expected. And yet that was the prophetic word from God to each and every one of them. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, and the Lord will care for you. As many of you know, I see quite a number of people actually for spiritual direction, about a dozen. And so I visit with them every month, typically, and kind of sit down with them for an hour, hour and a half or so, and people talk about their journey, their spiritual life, their relationship to Jesus, what they feel God might be calling them to, how that sort of enfleshed itself or not in the, you know, in the month, and kind of what their intentions are coming up. Most of the people that I see, not all, most of them are clergy types, priests and deacons from the diocese mostly. And so just recently I was sitting with an individual and we were talking about life, and this individual was talking about the life that they have, and shared with me a dream. And the dream was this. There was a wedding. It was a wedding, their wedding, the couple's wedding. And the wedding cake was there, and the people were gathered for the reception in the hall. And it was a great big, you know, typical wedding cake. And at the top of the cake was the typical sort of top of, well, I don't know if it's typical anymore, but it used to be, you know, with the, like the husband, the groom and the bride and the little, you know, thing of whatever, roses or flowers, the arch over it, and, you know, made of plastic or ceramic. And so that was the dream that she was sharing, and I was, you know, hanging in there, you know, with this individual. And then all of a sudden, the individual says, and then in the dream, this hand came down and just crashed into the top of that and shattered to pieces that thing on the top of the wedding cake. And of course, I'm thinking, whoa, where is this going to go? I may have to shift from spiritual director to psychotherapist, but change a hat or two. And so I had this sense that, you know, this was kind of going to be not come out real pretty. But then the individual went on to talk about the next thing that happened was that this hand came down and began to fashion this husband and wife into the people that the hand wanted them, was calling them to be and become together. Which was a great ending, right? At least as I saw it. And so as we unpacked that that dream together, you know, one of the things that came alive for me was, so often people get married, but not just people get married. All of us in our lives are like this Hebrew community. This is not how they expected Israel to look in, you know, when was it for them? About 550, right? Before Christ. This is not the Israel that they had banked on, right? And it's because they weren't in charge that somehow this God that they put their faith in is in charge. And just like this image of this romanticized marriage for this individual, you know, is not really what marriage is about. It's not this plastic husband and wife, or porcelain worse even, you know, husband and wife standing together under a rose arbor. It's not like that. It's something that is fashioned over time as these individuals continue to learn how to love each other and to explore how it is that God is calling them to be with each other. And to share that somehow, that exploration with the world around them, and most especially with family and friends and community. And so this hand coming out of heaven and smashing this image, something of what we're hearing in the readings today, that our God is a God that calls for us to be trustworthy, to be trusting, to be individuals who are excited, oftentimes even, in our most distressed experiences in life. That this hand that comes out of heaven and crushes this romanticized image or idea of what our life is supposed to be can very well be the hand of God for which we are called to wait. In Isaiah it says, those who wait on the Lord will mount eagle's wings and will fly. Because it's not about us. Even our own life is about who it is that our God created us to be and to become. And St. Paul talks about it in the second reading when he says, you know, I'm an apostle and I could use that over people, but I won't. Instead, when he says, I became a Jew to be with the Jewish, and I became a this to be with this and that to be with that. And it's about his attempting to be present to the other. Because together we learn how to wait for the hand of God to fashion our lives. Once, I think I told this story before in this church, but once in my first pastorate, other than working in the streets, I actually had a parish, a Hispanic parish in Galveston for a while, and there was a lady there who, after about 6 months of my pastorate after church, I would always walk out and, you know, say hi to people. And first of all, I used to run like 10 miles a day. And of course, I didn't run dressed like this. But people kind of assumed that you're a priest and that's kind of what you always wear, because they only see you on Sunday. And at first, she was upset with me because I ran in shorts and no shirt, right? And I'm like, well, this would be cumbersome, you know. But then about 6 months later, she said, Father Bob, I'm leaving the church and I'm going to go to another church. And I said, well, that's, you know, that's your choice. And I feel bad, but if it's what you want, then that's good, I guess. And can you tell me why? And she said, well, because you talk too much about Jesus. And I thought, well, it could be worse. You know, I mean, there could be a worse reason for leaving the church than hearing about Jesus. But that's what it is about. That's what these readings are about. This Jesus who is beginning his ministry, just calling people. He's calling, you know, he's called Peter and James and Andrew, and he's called them to be part of his group. And he's met some of their parents now and healed them. And people are beginning to clamor for him. And he's at the house and all these people are waiting. You know, he's praying and they're saying, come back because we, you know, people are waiting for you. And Jesus says, no, we have to keep on moving. We have to keep on building up the kingdom of God. And that's what our life is about. That keeping on moving. That keeping on building up the kingdom of God. Because that's who we are. Created in God's own image and likeness. But we are dependent on God. We don't do it and can't do it on our own. And so some of the images that we live with, like the image of the husband and wife that may somehow portray that this is what marriage is, a man and a woman under an arbor, you know, it's fine, I guess. If you're a straight couple when you're having a wedding and you have a cake, you know. But it's not life. It's not real. It's plastic or it's porcelain. And real life is about this hand of God coming out of heaven and shattering those images. And allowing ourselves to be formed and reformed moment by moment, day by day, year by year, by that hand of God. That hand of God that Israel was saying, I believe is there. Even when they were in desolation and brokenness. And so the call of the readings today, I think, as we join with Jesus in his, you know, as he begins his ministry in the Gospel of Mark, is to understand that Jesus who marched from that home of Peter or Peter's mother-in-law and who left and continued on a journey, that Jesus who is, we believe, in each of our lives, or we wouldn't be calling ourselves Christian, who puts out his hand constantly in healing and in change and in growth. A Jesus who never abandons us, but never allows us to brag about who we are. St. Paul, you know, in his reading says, I can't do that. I need to continue on, become who this Jesus is calling me to be and to become. And resting on the images or the romanticized experiences of our life or the things that, you know, even in church that we've always done kills us. Our spirit is dead if we're not longing to grasp that hand. Our relationships are dead if somehow it isn't fractured into something that God can build. That God can fashion and form like a potter. We are nothing unless we live in waiting of more. In waiting for something new. In waiting for a deeper and richer experience of that God in our lives. In waiting for healing and forgiveness in places that we've never been able to experience before. If we're not that, then we are sort of a porcelain artifact. And no one who calls themselves Christian can live if they're not on a journey. And that's why every Sunday when we gather together, we touch down at things that are common and ordinary to us. You know, the prayers that we use and the form that we use. And, you know, things sort of weave in and out of that common and ordinary. But what is not ordinary is that each and every Sunday, in a very new way, God comes to us in Jesus in God's real presence. And that real presence isn't something that's stagnant, but it's food. It's food for the journey. And the food will mold and the wine will turn to vinegar and is useless unless we eat it on our journey. And so it's alive with us. It is that hand of God calling us to more. So this morning as we take communion, let's not think about some static experience of putting bread and wine into our mouth, but an experience of the very hand of God in Jesus coming to feed us so that we can know God more deeply and more profoundly, and share that with the world around us.